News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's waiting until next week to send articles of impeachment against Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. ABC's Stephen Portnoy explains.
The fear Republicans now have is that if the debate over whether to hold a Mayorkas impeachment trial slides toward the end of the week, they might not have the perfect attendance they'd need to force a full trial when the vote is called. The Senate is split 51-49, and most Democrats seem interested in dismissing the charges right away. They consider the House's move to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary wholly partisan and entirely unjustified.
Today, the Arizona Supreme Court upheld a 160-year-old abortion ban that's more strict than the recent 15-week abortion ban. Critics are vowing to fight. In Michigan, the parents of Oxford shooter Ethan Crumbley, Jennifer and James Crumbley, were sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison for their involuntary manslaughter convictions and for not doing enough to prevent their son's actions. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden says his new student loan forgiveness plan would cancel tens of thousands of dollars in interest for Americans who can prove hardship cases. He called it a ticket to the middle class in Madison yesterday.
I think we all in this room share one goal, give everybody a fair shot, just a shot, freedom to chase their dreams.
Republicans call the plan a desperate attempt to buy votes. Wisconsin's longest-serving state senator is calling it quits. Republican Rob Coles of Green Bay says he'll retire instead of run for re-election now that his newly redrawn district is more favorable to Democrats. Coles is 73 years old. He was first elected to the Senate in 1987 after 4 years in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The president of Northland College has revealed some more details about the financial issue the school is facing. According to a Northern News Now report, President Chad Dayton says the biggest factors leading to the school's potential closure are declining enrollment and a loss of endowment funds. The school has seen a 24% decrease in enrollment since 2017 and has been operating with a structural deficit of as much as $5 million each year because of that. The school has raised less than $2 million of the $12 million it needs. Duluth residents attended a city council meeting on Monday to share their disappointment in the failed ceasefire resolution vote. During the public comment section of the meeting, many residents criticized the five councilors who voted against the resolution, with one calling them unhinged in their indefensible position against peace. The main topic for Monday's meeting was the awarding of a contract to a Carleton company to make street repairs in the area, but that decision was postponed to April 22nd. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks and the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. This one's been circled on the schedule for months. The Bucks hosting the number one seed in the conference, the Celtics, tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks trying to snap that four-game losing streak at home and overcome injuries, like Chris Middleton having a tooth knocked out Sunday night against the Knicks. Doc Rivers.
And Chris, you know, was great to begin in the game. He was absolutely fantastic. You just feel bad for him. The guy can't catch a break, you know. What's the odds of you getting you're going to a game. Okay, tonight it'll be my tooth getting knocked out. You know, it's just, he's having one of those seasons. Just tough luck.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Reds again in Cincinnati after losing the opener last night 10-8. Milwaukee committing four errors.
You know, there's a million things we could have done better. But it's part of it. It's part of it. You don't always play great defense. This was a draining game, but we battled back, and there's a lot to be proud of.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. A mostly sunny day for tomorrow, nice. Highs to the mid-60s. Then clouds return on Thursday, the wind picks up, some showers likely as well. High temperatures climb to the mid-50s. Right now it's 53.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. I'm always happy when my little buddy Dominic's right here with me in Madison, man. Great to see you.
Yeah,
great
likewise, to have you here. It's only Tuesday?
Holy Tuesday.
We live many days in one night sometimes, Curdy.
We have lived many lives. We pack it in. You know, we do a lot of living around here, Dom. And you know who else used to do a little bit of living?
Who's that?
Former President Donald Trump. You know, I bet he harkens back to the days when, you know, while his wife was home with his new son, Barron, he was out broad-dogging porn stars.
Ah, the good old days.
And then, apparently, paying the aforementioned porn star not to talk about it.
Shh, I'm running for president.
Not even his first foray in paying hush money. Apparently, he had a cooperating National Enquirer. And the unfortunately named David Pecker. Helping him. Catch and kill all the bad stories.
Yes.
Hey, we'll pay you for your story, and then we'll kill it.
And then we'll sit on it.
Never gets out there.
Never get out there.
Well, Dom, you know, I have changed my descriptor.
You've evolved.
I have, mostly because this case might actually go to trial.
Next week, Monday.
And the Washington Post, Aaron Blake, says why Trump's hush money case is bigger than the hush money. I prefer, you know, in 2020 hindsight to think of it as the Donald Trump raw dog to porn star and then paid hush money to keep her not to talk about
and
it.
And then being the greedy bastard that he is,
he cooked the books.
Cooked the books, you know, stuck it under attorney's
business
fees.
Expenses.
You're right. It's a write-off, Jerry.
Now, Aaron Blake in the subheadline writes, the judge indicates that this might be another case of election interference, but could it have affected the outcome? Question mark. Want to hear from you as well. This hour is for talkers like you, 844-967-2789, or for texters, but you know you're done with work now. It's okay. You can call us. Now, my read. The fact that Donald Trump has been indicted four times means we have to use shorthand to differentiate between the cases. So one case is the classified documents case. I used to call that the paperwork crimes. We've got the twin federal and Georgia election subversion. I call those, and they do here as well, the January 6th cases. And then there's the first case charge, the Manhattan hush money case, or as I prefer, Donald Trump raw dog to porn star and then paid her hush money to keep it quiet, which will also be the first to go to trial next week, unless Trump succeeds in delaying it.
So far not succeeding.
But that last shorthand might not be totally apt if a Monday letter from the judge in the case is any measure. Indeed, New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan seems to indicate that what we really have is a third election interference case. I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now. Voter deception is how Crudy's been describing it.
I've been saying this from day one.
I think you threw in a couple of raw dog to porn star.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun to say.
The allegations are in substance that Donald Trump falsified business records to conceal an agreement with others to unlawfully influence the 2016 presidential election. Merchant summarized in laying out the process for jury selection, which is set to begin Monday. Merchant isn't exactly rewriting the charges against Trump, but the characterization is a reminder that there's more at stake here than Trump's alleged affair with an adult film actress, Stormy Daniels, hush money, or even allegedly breaking the law by hiding the hush money paid to Daniels. Now, those particulars are salacious, but seemingly small bore compared to Trump's other three indictments. Yes, that was my earlier contention, before I saw the light, that it might go to trial first. What we also have here is an alleged plot to illegally obscure damaging information to benefit the winning candidate in a very close election. And given how close the election was, it's hardly ridiculous to wonder what effects this alleged crime may have had on the country's course. But it could only, could it possibly have swung the 2016 race? That's unknowable. But there's a couple of things we can say. Don, we live in the unknowables. One is that Trump's victory came by less than a percentage point in the decisive states. He won Michigan by 0.2%, Pennsylvania by 0.7%, Wisconsin by 0.8%, changed 78,000 votes in those states, or shift the entire electorate just 1 point towards Hillary Clinton, and Trump is never president. Oh, God, what a great alternative reality that would have been. The other is that Trump appears to have won because voters who were undecided late in the race broke strongly for him. Exit polls show that those who made their voting decision in the final days broke for Trump by 11 points in Michigan, 17 in Pennsylvania, and 29 points in Wisconsin.
Whoo!
Those were the righties coming home, Dom. And there were enough such voters in each state to make the difference, as I wrote back then. In Pennsylvania, it was 15%, deciding late. Michigan, Wisconsin, states where Trump made a late push, fully 20% of voters said they arrived at their choice in the last 7 days. And if we grant that the numbers are all spot on, a hefty if, given the wiggle room in exit polls, it would mean that Trump in the final weeks gained about 4 points in Wisconsin, 2.5 in Pennsylvania, 2 points in Florida, and 1.5 in Michigan. In each and every one of those states, those swings, if accurate, that's a big if, Dom, would account for Trump's victory.
Crudy, the question from there is whether a potential late disclosure of an alleged affair with a porn star may have had enough of an effect on enough voters, either those many wavering late deciders or other voters. Again, we will never know. It's tempting to say that it wouldn't have. Voters, after all, elected Trump despite learning a month before Election Day about the Hollywood access tape in which Trump mused about sexually abusing women. Trump overcame any number of other controversies to get elected, and late deciders tend to break against the party that holds the White House, as Clinton's party did at the time. But just because Trump won doesn't mean he was Teflon. Punditry often devolves into treating every attack on a winner as a failure because they won. But sometimes things do damage a winning candidate, just not enough to lose. It appears, as appears to have happened in the case of the Access Hollywood. A 2020 study from the University of Massachusetts examined the 2016 Cooperative Congressional Election Study. It found that those who were exposed to the tape were 2 points less supportive of Trump. Brandon's Jill Greenlee concluded that the 2.1-point popular vote loss might have been narrower for Trump, or maybe wouldn't have happened at all if not for the Access Hollywood tape. To believe Trump would have suffered further from the Daniels allegation would involve a few things. One, would be her actually lodging it publicly if she wasn't paid off, and then Trump would need to have lost voters who weren't sufficiently turned off by or aware of the Access Hollywood tape and his other controversies. Certainly, there's something to be said for a critical mass of controversies potentially serving as a breaking point for voters. Or perhaps some voters who accepted Trump's defense that the Access Hollywood tape was mere locker room talk may have been more concerned about a more substantial allegation about Trump's actual conduct. An affair with a porn star is the kind of thing that would seemingly be at least something of a problem for many of Trump's then newfound evangelical Christian supporters.
No, man, that makes him super cool in our world.
Of course, media covers of alleged Trump affairs followed him for decades, so perhaps it was baked into his brand by that point, and given the affair probably wouldn't have been and still hasn't been proven, Trump has always denied it, though he has lied about the situation. Maybe voters would simply chalk it up to being unknowable. I guess we'll never know, Crudy.
I guess we never will.
Perhaps they would even view it as a last-minute dirty trick from a disreputable character, an adult film actress. What's it say about the guy who raw-dogged her? Like, you know, is he a disreputable character? What's clear is that Trump and his then-lawyer, Michael Cohen, saw potential value in covering up the whole thing. And whether illegally or otherwise, they deprived us of this counterfactual. You can't rerun an election. So in that sense, the plot may have well paid off. But as Trump faces legal accountability for it, it's probably worth recognizing that the quote-unquote hush money and even the falsifying business records shorthand doesn't really account for all that this alleged crime may have meant for Trump or the country, Aaron Blake writing at the Washington Post.
Mea culpa. I underestimated the importance of not calling it Donald Trump, raw dog. A porn star. I can't even read my own handwriting at this point.
That's all right, man.
I think the sun's in my eyes still.
844-967-2789. And for this
but
crime.
But now, I call it something more important. A voter deception case now. Because that's what it was. They deceived the voters.
Yes, they did. They wanted to, it was the whole point. Don't let them know. Because, man, you already lost some voters because of the Access Hollywood tape. You know, come on. And this is before the cult actually took over. Before the minds were poisoned by, ooh, Donald Trump, he's so rich. You know, because that's all it was. I'm a billionaire. I got $10 billion. Be so proud of how rich I am.
Well, some liked him for his role in WWE villainry. And also,
and of course,
he fired a lot of people on the Celebrity Apprentice. Now, it makes you very important in America.
Is it?
Icon status.
Oh, my goodness. 844-967.
You're a businessman. You're fired.
2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Happy days, Mark. What do you got for us?
Yeah, happy days. And every time I hear short, and that goes right along with Donald Trump from what I read in Stormy Daniels' book, that this guy was raw-dogging a porn star, for gosh sakes. And that
I appreciate that you've adapted the vernacular that I used to use. Now it's he was deceiving the voters, Mark. You know, you got to move with the times.
Yeah, well, he was deceiving everybody about everything for all along. He's been a lifetime of deceit. I mean, he's a master of it. He learned it, learned it from what's his lawyer for all those years, Cohen. Roy Cohen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad.
Joe McCarthy's guy was also something of a mentor to Donald Trump. Fight everything. Deny.
Until they drag your ass into court, which will happen on Monday. Thanks for the call, Mark.
Roy Cohn died a lonely man. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. I expect there will be many, many at our funerals. 844-967.
I'm going to live forever, man.
789. Holy is a legend.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open for your take, 844-967-2789.
We're not doing the hush-hush anymore, I thought. But there's not a Donald Trump raw dog, a porn dog. Raw dog, a porn star song. Name,
yeah, okay, we could make something up, man. Pink Floyd. I just got Pink Floyd on the mind. Deep Purple. So many colors and things. Conservative Rick Wilson, Karuta, your buddy, warned Tuesday a normalcy bias in the media could have fatal consequences for American democracy should former President Trump regain the White House.
Yes, damn it.
We talked about this a little bit in the first
hour. Well, he should never regain the White House, but let's start from that premise. Let's see what Rick Wilson has to say.
Wilson published to Substack Tuesday a new essay called "The Both Sides Argument Will Kill Us All." God, I feel like I've been saying this. Condemning Trump for his winks at the alt-Reich, R-E-I-C-H. See what he did there?
I like what he did there.
The mega base who support a candidate frequently compared to a dictator after and media reporting that presents them as normal. Once again, the world is playing chess. And Donald Trump is eating the pieces and crapping on the board. I would assume he meant it. And instead of horror,
that's one way to win a chess match.
The reaction is a shrug, he writes. This isn't a regular election with typical outcomes. Yes, Rick Wilson. Wilson described MAGA 2.0 as the only political tribe that favors a president governing like a dictator, backs America's enemies abroad, and vows to hand Europe over to Vladimir Putin on a plate. The conservative argues too many are lost in a sleepwalk that could lead the nation to the point of no return, authoritarianism. Another quote. Ordinary people living ordinary lives who think politics doesn't matter and that the world will go on as it is, as it has, can't grapple with what happens in a post-American presidency. It seems a lot of Washington reporters can't either. Normalcy bias is the best friend of authoritarians. If you think the algo-driven hubble on social media is robust, nothing tops normalcy bias. This kind of inability to wake from the lulled complacency has Wilson asking if we're mirroring the rise of the Third Reich, asking Berlin 1936, anyone? Question mark. He sums up the fact that too many also think their checks and balances are going to solve these issues. And Wilson concedes the damage is already being done even before November 5th. Once you say it can't happen here, there's a high likelihood it's already happening.
Well, Dom, it would never happen again, not the January 6th. I mean, you know Trump's going to concede. And
yes.
If he loses, of course, he could win.
Well, we heard
but
this.
But he'll be gracious and defeat. He'll concede.
And he'll leave, right? Just like he did last time. Jesse Waters. Rich, we got this cut. Jesse Waters plays a clip.
On the Foxy News.
On the Foxy. Yeah, your buddy. Plays a clip of some people lamenting, Donald Trump, and then has this to say. Let's play it, if you would, please, Rich.
Because just like they thought the moon would never leave, they say Trump's going to stay for life.
You hear about Trump saying he's going to be a dictator for a day, which is not going to be for a day if it happens. No. Could be for the rest of our lifetimes and our children's and more.
Just like what happens after every eclipse, everybody knows Trump's going to leave office just like he did the last time.
Yeah, that's what everyone's worried about, man. Just like, what are you talking about?
Kicking and screaming, violently insurrecting.
Just like the last time. If you're going to believe anything Jesse Waters says, and I wouldn't do it much, that might be one to take home. He's going to do it just like. And I had a conversation with a Trump supporter recently. And I brought this whole thing up. I said, you know, do you think there was an insurrection? Maybe. That's bad, right? Yeah, that's bad. All right, if he wins again, you think he's going to leave? Well, yeah. Well, what would make you think that? What about his behavior? What about, you know, the history would make you come to the conclusion that if he gets in, if he wins legitimately, gets in, that he would ever leave? And on top of that, if he loses, does he concede? I mean, there's no winning with the MAGA and the cult. I mean, we are in a really, really tough spot. So when we talk about, you know, what is our role? What are, you know, as radio dudes and you know, legitimate other reputable journalism, what do you do in a case like this? It can't be, you know, both sides does it. Everything's the same. Here's what Trump had to say, and here's what Biden had to say. There's got to be more to it than that, because people are being lulled into this complacency, as Wilson points out. And is that something that I struggle with? And I'm, you know, I get it. I'm not going to be on here all calling people names, but sometimes you got to call them names. I mean, if you're a fascist, you're a fascist. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with calling authoritarianism out when you see it. I mean, that we have to do that. And we should be screaming from the rooftops. I mean, my God, our buddy Haas, man, he's been saying this. You know, Annalise, man, she grew up in Germany back in the day. She was a kid in Germany when Hitler rose. She's in her 90s now. I love you, Annalise. Thanks
for being
there.
Hope she's listening right now.
You know, she is. And talk about, you know, bringing this up to her attention. And now, I remember back on Brady Street years ago. It's not going to happen. What could possibly go wrong? What's the worst that could happen, Curdy? Well, great. Now we're going to find out, because of this situation, because a guy like Donald Trump, who, if he loses, and he probably will, won't concede. He didn't concede last time. He's out there literally yesterday on right-wing talk radio in Wisconsin telling the audience,
I won 2020.
I won 2020. And Megan Wolf, the elections administrator here in the state, if
she's got to go.
She's got to go. She's going to steal it again. I mean, this is what he's saying today. This isn't ancient history. This isn't 4 years ago. It's Jesse Waters. We know what's going to happen if he gets in again.
The difference, and Dom, there's an article at The Hill. It's beginning to look a lot like
Christmas.
2016.
Oh.
Yeah, this is not the sort of remembrance you want to go back to. But the difference here in the state of Wisconsin is in 2016, Donald Trump lost the primary to Ted Cruz. A thoroughly detestable figure in his own regard, just tells you where Wisconsin Republican sentiment is. But they found Ted Cruz double digits more appealing than Donald Trump.
Right.
This was a never Trump state. And right-wing talk radio, which has great sway, especially in southeastern Wisconsin with the base, they were all against this guy until they came home for him. And I would say the difference is no, they're his allies from the get. There's no reluctance in right-wing talk radio. Dan O'Donnell gave him a, you know, pushback-free platform the other day. Now, I didn't hear that you... Joe Gigante interview, we've discussed a little bit, but it was reported on at the Journal Sentinel. But my buddy, regular Joe, is not going to interrupt the former president, his guy, MAGA Trump. No, I'm sure there was zero pushback. And you know, begs the question, what do we exist for? Aren't we supposed to be the pushback to that? I mean, because Joe Gigante is not going to push back against the former. So we have to tell the people that might have heard that, and we're playing on 97.9 WGBW, 2 down the dial from WTAQ 97.5 FM, that what they heard this morning might not be the truth.
Well, is it up to Joe to say that, man? And the person interviewing, is it up for Dan to say that? I mean, are you just going to give it all up? You're just going to let
their
the guy
souls.
Lie to your face, to your audience? I mean, that's just detestable. What kind of character do you have or do you lack to allow someone come on and to spew that stuff, Curdy? And maybe that's why, you know, I would never allow that to happen. No freaking way, man. Not a Dem, not a Republican, not an independent,
You've
not a libertarian.
You've had Ron Johnson on enough times. You have allowed some of that to happen.
But that was before the insurrection, man. That was just, you know, Republicans being Republicans. Now Republicans are fascist, and they're actively courting the lies.
I remember when Ron Johnson was on this fine radio program. And we asked him, as the HISGAC chairman, subpoena power, why he didn't get to the bottom of the stormy, you know, the raw dogging of a porn star by the former president, Donald Trump, his guy.
The first election interference, yes.
Yes. And he called it, you know, not worthy of his attention. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
Come back. We know something.
I'm Earl, host of The Earl Ingram Show. Wednesday at 9 a.m., I'll be joined by Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action,
only on Civic Media.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans like Congressman Brian Stiles say the student loan forgiveness program President Biden pitched in Madison yesterday does nothing to lower the high cost of college.
The burden needs to be on administrators to control the cost of the educational product in the first place. This is why this program is proposed by the president is so frustrating. It does nothing to solve the underlying problem.
Biden says his plan would boost the economy by freeing up millions of Americans burdened by debt. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican bill that would have let 14 and 15-year-olds in Wisconsin work without getting a state permit or their parents' permission. Evers says putting more kids to work is not a serious solution to Wisconsin's worker shortage. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Memorial Blood Centers has announced a blood emergency as donations begin to run dry. According to healthcare officials, school breaks and weather complications have been major factors in the shortage of donations, in addition to a general decrease in first-time blood donors over the past few years. Officials say the blood type they desperately need is type O negative, the universal donor, which is the most often type used in emergency blood transfusions. Memorial Blood Centers is calling on the community to help. After a study named Duluth as the loneliest city in Minnesota, organizers held a speed-friending event at a local cafe. According to a Northern News Now report, the Dovetail Cafe and Marketplace played host to the play on speed dating, giving Duluth residents a chance to meet all kinds of new people and get to know their community a little bit better in a short amount of time. Hadrian Demiorbius, the organizer of the event, says the hope is to hold a similar event every month to get more people active in the community. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. Thanks to whiskey, jazz, dive bars, swanky cars, and black and white, Colin Farrell is channeling his inner Humphrey Bogart in the new series, Sugar. Collider reports that the detective show has elements of film noir throughout. The cast is rounded out by Perry Mason's Matthew Rhys and Clive Owen. Sugar is now available to stream on Apple. New episodes drop on Friday nights. Happier Gilmore? Adam Sandler fans will be glad to know there is a sequel in the works. Drew Barrymore spilled the beans, or the tea, or your food of choice on her talk show, saying that Sandler was working on a script for Happy Gilmore 2. According to the New York Post, Barrymore told her studio audience that there is a process and that the process is in the process. Actor Chris McDonald also confirmed as much, saying that Sandler let him have a peek at the first draft of the script to Happy 2. Given Bob Barker's passing, it remains to be seen which elderly game show host Sandler will throw hands with in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. A mostly sunny day for tomorrow, nice. Highs to the mid-60s. Then clouds return on Thursday, the wind picks up, some showers likely as well. High temperatures climb to the mid-50s. Right now it's 53.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street.
the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Probably tacos happening somewhere in Dom's life. It's a happier, happy hour. I know there's tequila involved.
Oh, you know it, man.
Rolling through it. Your calls. Welcome here. Where are you at? People enjoying the beautiful day.
Yeah, I know. I mean, get outside, but call the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. Rich, thanks for playing a little Pink Floyd. Was that Run from the Wall, right?
Run like hell.
Run like hell. You know, I recently, Friday, went to go see a cover band, Pink Floyd, Brit Floyd, Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My wife, Steph, and I went, met a couple of friends, had a great time. But then listening to the songs, and, you know, I love The Wall. I mean, the movie was really turned me on back when I was a kid. But I remember the authoritarianism, you know, the cartoon hammers and all that. And I just, Steph and I were looking at each other, I'm like, man, this is a little too close to home these days. You know what I mean? I'm like, because I remember how like off-putting it was and weird it was and how that movie impacted me. And I'm really like, man, this is some fascist SOBs. And they're singing about it. And all of a sudden it's like, man, we're kind of living that now. It shouldn't be old music. You're referring to, it should never happen again. But here we are.
Would you prefer springtime for Hitler?
And Germany. Da, da, da,
da. Dom, it's beginning to look a lot like 2016, says Beckett Adams, an opinion contributor over at The Hill. Let's see if we agree. In politics, anything can happen. But at the rate things are going, Donald Trump seems increasingly likely to return to the Oval Office. Last week, two-time presidential loser Hillary Clinton appeared on The Tonight Show to promote a Broadway show. Pressed to address the uncomfortable fact that President Biden is unpopular even with Democratic voters, Clinton's response was positively deplorable. Here's what she said, Dom. What do you say to voters, Jimmy Fallon, the asker of the question on the late night show, what do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices? Get over yourself, Clinton grumbled. Those are the two choices. She added, it's kind of like, one is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart and really cares about people, and one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies. I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, but we have to go through the election and hopefully people will realize what's at stake. It's not like Trump, his enablers, his empowerers, his allies are not telling us what they want to do. I mean, they're pretty clear about what kind of country they want, Clinton concluded. There's a reason why she goes by Madam Secretary and not Madam President.
Yeah.
More seriously, it's astonishing that Democrats keep committing these exact same type of election year gaffes. It's astonishing that popular media keep elevating those unlikable political celebrities even during election years, apparently unaware that their stars have little to no purchase outside of faculty lounges and television studios. See, for example, Beto O'Rourke, Wendy Davis, and Stacey Abrams. What do you mean Hillary Clinton is unpopular? All the late night hosts love her. Yes, but voters don't. She's unlikable. And she has a terrible political instincts. I don't disagree with that assessment, although I find her more appealing than this author does. I continue, Dom. The disconnect between what's popular with the entertainment media and the Democratic Party and what's popular with voters played a significant role in the 2016 election. Democratic Party officials trapped themselves in an echo chamber, trusting the advice and the assurances of people all in the same socioeconomic rung. They actually believed their own press and lost sight of voters' concerns. In fact, they disregarded voters' concerns outright. Even after it became apparent Clinton was failing to connect with traditionally pro-Democratic voting blocs, they didn't campaign as if there was any question of who would win the election. Clinton didn't even visit Wisconsin, not even once. Well, not after she won the nomination.
She won the primary, she did not. She was here during the primary.
Consequently, Trump's victory caught basically everyone and the Democratic Party and media by surprise. Now in 2024, Trump has a long road ahead of him. Do you think? I think it's going to be a long road, especially considering that he, like Biden, polls terribly. Trump's campaign inspires little confidence. The former president is out there hawking sneakers, Bibles, and perfume.
Woohoo!
Didn't know he had perfume. Ooh, all the really? While, his surrogates panhandle online for donations to pay off his legal bills. But do you know what else Trump did recently? On March 28th, he flew up to Florida to attend the wake of a slain New York Police Department officer, Jonathan Diller, who has been shot and killed during a traffic stop. Diller is survived by his wife and their one-year-old son. Now, during Diller's wake across town, Biden and his campaign were putting the finishing touches on a glitzy, star-studded campaign fundraiser, where they yucked it up later that evening with Stephen Colbert and Lizzo. For more than $100,000, attendees could have their pictures taken with Biden and former Democratic presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Oh, I bet they lined up too, Dom. After paying his respects to the Diller family, Trump told reporters outside the funeral home, "The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing, and there's nobody like them, and this should never happen," he added. "We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently. This is not working. This is happening too often." Later that evening, Biden, who declined to attend Diller's wake even though he was in New York, made a dark branded joke at his fundraiser. Everyone clapped. How many people even know what that is? Our audience knows Dark Brandon, sort of the meme.
Yeah.
Crazy Joe Biden. With only a few months until election, well, sort of appropriated by the Democrats, with only a few months until the election day, Trump has a slight edge on Biden, according to Real Clear Politics polling average. Anything can happen. But these recent unforced errors by the Democratic Party, whose current campaign message amounts to "shut up and eat your gruel," it's starting to look a lot like 2016 all over again.
I'm not buying it.
And we all know how that played out.
Come on. Hillary Clinton is not part of that campaign. She's on a talk show. She has nothing to do with it.
Well, why is she offering political opinion? She doesn't host a talk radio show. She doesn't have important work to do, does she?
Right. And this is a contributing opinion. Who is the person? Who is the author of this piece?
Beckett Adams is a writer in Washington and program director of the National Journalism Center.
I don't.
Let's presume it's
disagree.
A righty.
I disagree.
Presume it's a lefty. Does it matter?
I'm curious to know. Yeah, because it does matter a little bit. Where's your base? Where's your context? Where are you coming from? What's your angle? Would be my thing. Yes, I think it does matter. Because not all opinions are the same, Michael. When someone says something that has a more, legitimate background, for example, yes, you tend to believe the experts. If someone is not and they're a mega, cult member, then no, I don't believe that furries are putting, kitty litter boxes in public grade schools. I don't think that's a thing. So it does matter. But let's just take it for what the opinion is.
Okay. So I looked it up.
Okay.
Well, you've been rambling incessantly.
Yes.
I looked up the National Journalism Center, and it's kind of vanilla, although I do note all the attendees that they feature in their photographs, all white, pretty young white people. And, they claim since 1977, the National Journalism Center has trained aspiring journalists in the values of responsible, balanced, and accurate reporting.
Okay, so that's a great then.
We're training a new generations of leaders to bring balance to the media. Balance, Dom. You can apply for a 12-week program.
You can learn
how to be fair and balanced.
Excellent. I thought all I had to do was watch Jesse Waters on Fox News.
Well, I would recommend New Journalism NJC, I guess this is called, to anyone who has a passion for policy, media, and following the news, according to the University of Michigan. Now, that's an individual, and it's not clear to me, and I'm not going down that rabbit hole, who each individual is, but apparently someone at the University of Michigan likes it. But here's the notable part. They got lots of stuff they offer on their website. But I pulled down to the notable alums. The first one, Peter Schweitzer. And I don't know if you know who that is, but I think that's someone with something of a, let's just read the current resume. He's a best-selling author,
ooh,
a young Adolf's Foundation, young American Foundation alumni.
Oh, okay. So he's Scott Walker's buddy.
And president of the Government Accountability Institute. There's Mark Thiessen, the guy who ghostwrote Scott Walker's yeah. Unintimidated book. Former speechwriter for George W. Bush, columnist, commentator.
Okay, I heard
author.
Enough. I heard enough.
Oh, wait. There's one more.
Wait, there's more?
Esteemed alum. Because Mark Thiessen, you know, you could...
Solomon.
If Mark Thiessen went to UW-Madison, they would probably acknowledge he's something of a big shot. But here's the coup de grace. He is author, editor, blogger, and television personality. Foxy News' own Greg Gutfield. When he is among your notable alumni.
Okay, so thank you for that. Now
perhaps
we know.
Now consider we know. The source.
And when someone who's part of the... enabling the fascist authoritarian takeover in the guise of media. John Solomon, for example, right? He was
associated. And Thiessen gets a spot on the Washington Post. He often writes his editorials
for reputable papers. I've seen a couple of them. They're not great.
Greg Gutfield, consider the Foxy News.
So
he is one of the most popular hosts on that station.
Fair and balanced. How do you do it? Fair and balanced how? I mean, would you got to wait till they start rounding them up, putting them on the trains, and shooting them in the back of the head before you say, well, that's not a good policy? You know, it's nice and easy. It's great to say, well, we got to be balanced. We got to present all sides. And sure, I mean, for some things, for most things, you can have opinions on all sides. You think abortion should be legal, think abortion shouldn't be legal. You can understand a position. You think taxes should be higher, taxes should be lower.
What about Hillary's position on calling Trump supportive? Half of them are deplorables. They fit in a basket of deplorables.
Yeah.
She said it during the 2016 campaign. When I interviewed Russ Feingold under the bleachers at Bree Stevens Field, he's running for the Senate against Johnson. Obviously, Johnson won that because he's not Senator Feingold anymore. I asked him what he thought about that statement.
Not great.
No, he did not like that. Yeah. And he and the guy that was his body man at the time, Michael Taylor, I believe his name, he's now high up in the Biden campaign. But Michael Taylor and he confabbed, and it was just the three of us. I'm like, what's the problem, Judge? He said, oh, she's not going to like that. And I said, who's she? Hillary Clinton. I said, I don't think she listens to the show. She hasn't appeared on it yet.
Right.
But... There was genuine fear that they had offended Hillary Clinton by even making that representation on then local media in Madison, Wisconsin. Then don't say it. You know what I mean? If you can't defend it, don't say it. Don't say it. Hillary Clinton didn't do herself any favors.
Are the January? But there are deplorables. Those that would ransack the Capitol. Those that would crap on the walls. That would beat the hell out of officers. Those that would subscribe to the QAnon, the Pizzagates. That's deplorable, man.
The quiet part you don't say out loud.
But why
it?
Not? I mean, it's one thing to broad brush everyone who votes a certain way as a certain thing. I'm not doing that. I'm being very specific. You got guys, the Miller cat, deplorable. Donald Trump is deplorable. There are deplorable people. And he's in charge. He's in charge of the MAGA.
But you know that you've got friends and family who are MAGA supportive or Donald Trump supportive. We know people. The guy that did that logo right there is one of them.
Yeah.
Still like the guy. Guy still done great work for us. We still appreciate you, Greg. Do you still remain his friend after all these years?
Despite
the political rift you have? How could he possibly support a fascist? Because that's not how he sees it, right?
There's some folks out there that
I won't speak for Greg.
There are some folks, I believe, are just about the crap stirrers that want to just muck it up. They want to, you know, they jump online, do the things, and just troll people for entertainment, for that.
I get
that. Now, there's also some that literally want to overthrow the government, that literally want fascism, that literally want their way or nowhere, that want to burn the world, man. And there's people out there that are like that. And I'm not saying they're all like that, but you can't hide and think that, no, they don't exist. They absolutely exist, and they're mostly Trumpers. They're mostly supporting MAGA right now.
I understand that. I don't see a lot of 3%ers or Proud Boys marching in support of Joe Biden.
Or
Antifa. Standing by and standing back.
Black Lives Matter. How many Proud Boys are walking with Black Lives Matter? None.
Come back. More Devils.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you have something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
You know what I'd like to think of this last segment as?
What's that?
Rico time.
Here we go.
I wonder if he's out there. Where have you been, Rico?
847-2789.
Rico knows the number.
Rudy, Rick Wilson, this piece, his quote, he wrote a piece on his Substack, "The Both Sides Argument Will Kill Us All." And I like the quote. Once again, the world is playing chess. It's conservative. The world is playing chess. Donald Trump is eating the pieces and crapping on the board. And instead of horror, the reaction is a shrug. This isn't a regular election with typical outcomes. So says the conservative.
Let's hear from at least one conservative in our audience. 844-967-2789. The generally reasonable Mark from Sussex. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hello, guys. Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Mark, do you perceive yourself as a deplorable, as Hillary Clinton might perceive?
I must be the opposite. But, Tom, it's funny that you bring up Black Lives Matter, one of the most disgusting organizations ever, after what they've done with all the money that they collected from African Americans and other Americans, for that matter.
So you're gauging
your problem is with the grifting?
Right, man. Are you sure you want to go down that road, man? I'm just curious.
Civic Media.
Are you wearing your Trump sneakers, Mark? That's the question he really wants to ask you. Are you praying from your Trump Bible?
You're all happy about that organization.
I'm happy. I mean, I think Black Lives Matter, Mark. Do Black Lives Matter, Mark, do you think?
They absolutely do.
Okay, so what's the problem?
For them to take advantage of so many people and the dishonesty that was involved in that is unbelievable.
Well, listen, there's always going to be, anytime you get a few people in a room together, Mark, there's going to be folks that take advantage. I'm not going to deny that. But the ultimate point was you got a bunch of young black men getting unarmed, being killed by police officers over and over and over again and again and again, man. So, yeah, I support them in that. If someone's going to take advantage of an organization, let's talk about the Catholic Church. Let's talk about the Republican Party. There's a lot of that going on, man. So that's not the point, though.
From your sentiment, though, I'm gathering that you don't like white people anymore because by the last time I thought...
Yeah,
self-loathing white man Dom that he is.
It's unbelievable that you've just turned so hard to the left, as usual, but that all white people are now bad.
I didn't say that. You're saying that. Don't put words in my mouth, Mark. I never said that. And my support of Black Lives Matter does not mean all white people suck, Mark.
That's exactly what your point is coming
across. No, well, that's your interpretation, my friend. That is not at all what I'm saying. So let's get to the point, though. The deplorable comments. Do you think the folks that attacked the Capitol, Mark, and you're conservative, so these are probably the same people that voted for your guy. Do you think that was a deplorable act?
I thought it was a very bad act. Deplorable? Okay. If you want to call it that, that's fine.
Okay. So we agree on that. Whatever. So do you think when Donald Trump gets on regular Joe Giancani in the Green Bay market, gets on the show today and tells the American people he won in 2020 and it got stolen from him by Megan Wolf, the elections administrator here, who does the work of the WEC, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which is a bipartisan, 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans, and she fulfills the obligation of that board. When Donald Trump guts up, do you think that's okay? Do you believe, Mark, the election was stolen by Megan Wolf in the state of Wisconsin for Donald Trump?
So as I've mentioned many times on this show, I do not think this, the election was stolen. I think there was way, way, way too many issues. And again, you'll blow them off as just, you know, it's a political thing, blah, 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 whatever. But
well, what kind of issues? The drop boxes? We used drop boxes for years and years before that, Mark.
It was
never
only
a problem
when Trump made it a problem, Mark,
when he lost.
So wait. So how many drop boxes in parks and at bars or restaurants or
not in bars.
Mark, you're believing a fiction now. That's not where the drop boxes were.
Okay, they weren't in parks.
They were not in bars.
Parks are different
than
bars and restaurants, dude.
But were they in parks?
For a period of time during the COVID pandemic, they did open air collection of ballots in parks with, I believe, manned vans. So they were election officials there at the time, Mark.
Okay. If you continue to believe that, that's fine. But again,
even if they were a locked box in the park, Mark, it's still a valid ballot.
I do believe that Joe Biden was elected president.
Okay, but then what about the guy, and I don't know if you're going to vote for him, Marco, you know, hopefully you won't, but the Republican nominee is saying that today, and he's convinced a lot of people, a lot of your friends, Mark, that is the case. I mean, is that doesn't seem right, man. It seems very wrong to me, Mark. I'm not going to call it deplorable, but I think it is. How do you describe that behavior, that lack of character, when he's openly lying to everybody?
Okay, how about Stacey Abrams?
Come on, man. That's a bad pivot.
It's a very specific question. Mark, are you going to support? Do you support Donald Trump right now for the presidency of the United States?
I will absolutely vote for him based on the opposite side of the spectrum, which is deplorable. I'll put it back.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What policy of Joe Biden do you think Donald Trump should undo specifically?
Okay. I'm going to start with the border.
Okay, we have a
turned away.
Mass deportations, you down, Mark? How about internment camps?
How about foreign relationships?
And yeah. With Putin, man? Hand jobs in Helsinki aren't the kind of foreign relationships I really supported my president in.
Okay, so NATO, Ukraine. Where do you stand on that? NATO and Ukraine, Mark?
Let me explain. So a month ago, Joe Biden said that the Israel issue was going to... He was cease and desist right there. He said it was going to happen. That was a month ago. And so he has no ability. He's supposed to be this
Trump said
unifier.
We were going to build a wall and Mexico was going to pay for it, Mark. You still believe that guy? And Joe Biden doesn't have the power to solve Middle East peace after all these thousands of years. Not yet. I mean, Jared Kushner was well on his way. We had nothing but peace in the world when Trump was the president. And strength. And great relations, especially with the Russians.
Yeah, amazing. And Mark, truly appreciate you listening, man. Appreciate you calling and joining us, man, for real. But if you're going to vote for a guy that you acknowledge openly lies to you and everyone around you and your friends and your family and foments this hatred and this frothiness of authoritarianism, man, I really wonder, what do you believe it? How do you believe it? How do you support that, man? I can't believe that you would. But we'll work on you, Mark. Thanks for listening.
I worked on you and see how you've changed for the better.
Yeah, I'm so much better.
Thank you all for listening.
I'm still deplorable.
You've all changed for the better just for listening today. Have a great night. Busted Pencils is next.
Thank you, Rich.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wednesday on the Maggie Dawn Show, I take on Trump lawyer, now disbarred attorney John Eastman. Turns out it was all a big pack of lies.
Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingies.
Winged Thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingies.
The Winged Thingies.
Matinee on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs reacting to a state Supreme Court decision today.